Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investor Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investor Schooling.
All right, everybody, good morning and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Investor Schooling Live is transmitting from the Investor Schooling Studios right here in the Investor Schooling headquarters. I am Larry Steinhaus, and I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. I want to thank everybody for listening and get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many more things about money I bet you didn't know. Hey, by the way, you can call us anytime during the show with your questions at 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. And I'm telling you, especially if you're a landlord, today's show, you're going to want to call in. So write down this number, 855-939-1137. And we are live. Don't worry about what the topic. We're going to take your call about anything that has to do with money, finance, or even politics. We are also live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can leave comments there as well. Hey, by the way, if you're watching online, please say hi. It's the only way we know you're watching. So if you leave a comment. All right, at Investor Schooling, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money in taxes, how to be financially free, and we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of you working for money. Investor Schooling is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right off the Newtown Bypass, serving the New Jersey and Greater Philadelphia areas in a real brick-and-mortar building. And our students are also located in several states with our exclusive web access to our classes and seminars. Get ready to learn something new. Get ready to learn the business of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, and stock options trading from your friendly neighborhood financial expert Larry Steinhaus. All right, I'm here, of course, with my co-host Dr. Deb.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on, Dr. Deb? Anything exciting?
No, I don't think my daughter turned 18 today, so that's
her. Wow,
I know. So today, she's getting her tattoo today because
she's getting a tattoo.
That's what you get.
I wouldn't let her get it beforehand, but now that she's turned 18, I can't really say no to her. So, later today, I'm going to meet up with her to see how she's making out.
Yeah. All right, we also have Omri.
Yes.
Our other co-host, Omri. I wonder if anybody can still spell Omri. We should probably do another contest to see if anybody can spell Omri.
What are we going to give now?
What?
What are we going to give now?
We give away a book. We could give away money multiplier tickets. Yes. We could give a whole bunch of stuff away.
Exactly.
We could give away a bottle of water. And then, of course, we also have Judge Ed Levine here today, which is kind of cool.
It's always fun
to have Judge Ed Levine here because we talk about cool eviction stuff and the law and, you know.
Eviction.
You know, it's not just landlords that can call. Tenants can call in, too.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Please.
And people that don't rent at all.
Of course,
because we'll talk about everything.
So before we get into, like, the show and, you know, like, really in-depth conversation, we always like to follow up on Debbie's property in Wilkes-Barre, right?
Apparently, yes.
So, you know, because people have been listening to this for a long time.
And so has this property been going for a long time. No, it's coming together. So while the electric is done, most of the plumbing's done. Actually, all the plumbing should be done right now. The HVAC system is in. The sprinklers are starting to get put in. I'm not sure if they're in yet, but they should be starting to get put in.
Mm-hmm.
All the drywall has been ordered. All the insulation is in. So all the insulation's in, but it should be sheetrocked by the end of the year.
Did he do the returns? He started with the returns?
I don't know.
Okay, you need to really check this out. It's very important. Because when we were there together, when was it?
A month ago?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There is tons of materials in the house, especially plumbing materials. And like 80% of the plumbing was done. So make sure they're doing returns.
Okay, so just
is that what you meant? I thought you meant HVAC returns.
No. All returns that
So you guys are like having an interesting conversation, which is really cool. But remember, there are 80,000 listeners right now.
Are we on
listening
air?
Listening to every other show except for this one.
We are on the air right now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know you didn't realize that, right?
Yes.
So just to let the audience know, if you've never listened to the show before, Debbie has a huge project up in Wilkes-Barre. It's a really cool property. It's a fourplex in the back and a twoplex in the front. And she's been working on this thing for about 2 years now?
About a year and a half, yeah.
Year and a half. And she went through some really bad contractors. And we finally got her straightened out, a real good contractor. And, you know, we just talk about the updates on this thing because it's the reality. Reality is when you're investing in real estate, sometimes you have problems. And Debbie learned every single problem you can have in this property.
Mm-hmm. I did. Every single one. Every single problem.
How close are you to having tenants?
April, I believe.
No, I think sooner than that. He seems to think it'll be done in January, so I can start probably looking
it won't.
February. Why do you say that? Have you been getting the updates every week?
Some weeks, yeah. And
okay,
your attitude.
Because
you are very, very, very effective.
Should I mute their microphones and let you and I talk?
I mean, this is fascinating.
I love Debbie. You know that. I know.
Omri's one of those guys who. He does it with Larry, he does it with me, and if you start coming to the show long enough, he will do it with you. Omri doesn't know when to quit. He doesn't know how to read body language. He doesn't know how to read cues.
You mean giving him the finger right now isn't...
even if I did that, he would not
very much care about Debbie. Very much. And the thing is,
He likes to push every button that I get frustrated. And he likes to. And he did it. He did it yesterday at the meeting with Larry. He does it to me every time we talk about this property. He doesn't know when to just let go.
See, I suggest you guys just wager on. I mean, he says it's going to be April. You say February. I'll take bets right now.
You're the judge. Why don't you?
Let's just do March.
He wasn't there.
Yeah. I put the odds on March 8th, and
I will bet you that.
What I'm saying is, he said all the sheetrock will be in at the end of the year. And then the rest will probably be the rest of January. He said everything should go smooth after that. So hopefully by February, I can start marketing it to get tenants in.
Okay.
All right. So Omri, since this show is really, really boring at the moment.
No, it's not.
Why don't you give the phone number so let people call in so we can talk to our guest, Judge Ed Levine, about your eviction that's going on right now.
Okay.
So give everybody the phone number.
So the phone number is 855-939-1137. It's 855-939-1137.
Cool.
Two more times.
267. No, that's my personal. I'm sorry. It's 855-939-1137.
You know, keep going. One more time.
No.
855-939-1137.
It's very refreshing. I'm the one that interrupt others, mainly.
I posted this on Facebook. I got 16 likes. So woo-hoo! We're talking major here.
So have you shared this? So you should go share this from my page to your page now.
I don't know how to do these things. I don't even post on Facebook.
You have friends in Facebook, right?
You know, I've had a new dog for 4 months. I haven't posted one picture of the dog yet. And that's the truth. Yeah. That takes some restraint in this day and age.
Look, I'm 60. I know how to post a picture of my dog.
Yeah, I know how to do it. I just don't want to do it.
Okay,
plus, I don't have permission from the dog. He said no. He's not into social
media. We have one picture of your dog.
Did you listen? That was a really funny joke. You didn't even laugh.
It wasn't that funny.
Maybe I didn't get it.
That was very funny.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Is it a boy or a girl? Or is it not identified?
It's a boy. And hopefully, I do something interesting. I have a co-owner of the dog. It's me and my neighbor share the dog. And I think Drew, shout out to him. I think he's fixing my sink pipes right now.
What happened in divorce?
There is no divorce. That's the beautiful thing about co-owning a dog with your neighbor. We're not going to get divorced. I'm not marrying him. I'm not moving anywhere.
Well,
he's
what
not
if he
moving
moves?
Anywhere.
Who gets the dog?
We're not moving. We know what we're doing. Hopefully I'm not moving.
We're not cutting the dog, right?
We're not cutting the dog.
Okay.
We're sharing the dog.
Okay.
This is worse than divorce.
I was going to say, this is such a weird conversation.
I think
it
that's
a weird conversation.
That's
can we get back to real estate?
Yeah, let's talk real estate.
That's the essence of what's wrong with this show? We bring a judge and we talk to him about dogs.
I steered that one.
All right. So, Rick, so let everybody know. So, Judge Ed Levine is a judge in Montgomery County. And he is the judge actually in Lansdale, correct?
Lansdale, Towamencin, and Hatfield.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you oversee, so there's a lot of landlord-tenant cases come to you?
We have over, I think we're going to hit 700 this year, which is, landlord, I think, the most we've ever had.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
It's booming. Lansdale is, they are building more and more apartments.
Oh, that might be
just when you think you can't have any more apartments, they build more, and the prices are astronomical. I can't even believe how much they're asking for, you know, a 750-square-foot brand-new apartment. Right next to train tracks on, on Cannon Avenue, there's a new one up. One bedroom.
I'm going to guess 1,500.
More. Higher.
Wow, for one bedroom?
Yeah.
For one bedroom.
1,700.
We talked about Willow Grove a week ago. You remember? Or maybe it was this Monday. And I said 16 and you said no way.
Wow.
Same thing about Willow Grove. Willow Grove became very desirable.
All right. Well, great. I'm glad to know because I have a bunch of stuff in Lansdale. So I'm happy to hear the prices keep going up. Although it did take me, it was really my fault. It took me two months to rent my property in Lansdale. But the only reason was I was away and I was ignoring the phone calls and, you know, and then I finally got, I actually feel bad about this. I had somebody come to me. She was a young woman with a child, really nice lady, spoke to her on the phone.
Section 8.
And she was Section 8. And, you know, I always say the same thing. I say, I'll take any Section 8. I don't really care. But I always say the same thing is, you know, will they cover that much money? And now they are, which is bizarre because usually I have a high rent and they usually don't. But now they will. So then we got the yes from the caseworker who said, yes, we'll take this, you know, we can cover that much money. And I said, okay, great. When could she move in? She goes, well, she could move in 2 weeks. Can somebody send me a security check just to hold it? And she's like, well, I'm working on with some agencies to get the money. I'm working on some other agencies to get the money. And a week and a half went by, and somebody was like, please, I want to rent this place. Please, 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 let me rent the place. Let me rent the place. Let me rent the place. I'm like, all right, I'll show it to you tomorrow. And if you want it, you can have it. And finally, I just had to call the agency and say, look, you didn't give me any money. You didn't give me any promises. You didn't give me anything. I have to let this go.
It's more than that, because I know the story. There was a case here that the voucher have been transferred from one county to another.
This is a different story, but yeah, okay.
And because of that, it took longer.
Right.
So when she said to you 2 weeks, I said to you from the beginning, there is no chance.
Right. This wasn't even a voucher. This was a first-time voucher.
Exactly. You have to understand, when you have a Section 8 tenant, the first thing you ask them, the first thing you ask a Section 8 tenant is for the voucher. Unless you see the voucher, it doesn't matter what the tenant say. You need to see the voucher. You need to see how long the voucher is valid. You need to see for how many bedrooms the voucher is valid in the voucher.
Right.
You will see all the contact information for the caseworker. All those things are very, very important when you consider a Section 8 tenant.
Got it. And I agree with you. I just, like I said, it was just one of those things. I was trying to be nice. And, you know, what I say, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah, but you weren't locked in.
No, I wasn't. And I did what I needed to do. And I got a tenant in there, moved in the next day after they saw the place. And it's all good. The funny part was they moved in last week, and today I get a phone call. Actually, I got a phone call yesterday that there's no hot water, and I've got my guy replacing the hot water heater today. And so, you ever notice that when tenants move in, that's when everything breaks? And it's probably because it was sitting empty for a while.
Sitting empty, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever was going on just happens.
If he's in Lansdale and he can stop in Norristown, I would really appreciate that.
Oh, my plumber?
Your crazy plumber.
Actually, he's great. His name is Blake. He's over there right now. He might even be listening to the show.
Hopefully.
Hey, Blake, if you listen to the show, say hi.
Yeah.
But the guy's great, man. He's great. He's the greatest plumber I've ever had. Because he'll go. He'll take care of the stuff. He was there at 7 o'clock in the morning this morning with the new water heater ready to go.
Amazing. So, again, if you can stop in Norristown, I would really appreciate that.
Well, I'll see what we can do.
Plumbing is always the weak spot for some reason.
Hey, Blake, if you call in, Blake, I'll even give you a plug.
Wow!
So if you want, so call in because I don't know. I don't want to plug you without your permission. So if you want to call in, what number can you call in, Omri?
It's 855-939-1137. What is a plug?
It's an announcement of his business.
Okay.
A commercial.
Yeah.
Only one time you're gonna say the number?
No, you said plug, and okay, it's 855-939-1137.
All right.
You know, okay. I think one thing I think is interesting. So, since I'm still a little bit annoyed at you, I don't really want to hear your voice. You know, like you just sexy. You know, and it's just like somehow, you know.
Do you acknowledge that every time we talk about this property, you are getting annoyed by me? Maybe it's not me.
Can we just acknowledge that every time you talk to me about this property, you like dig and dig and dig?
But
and
it's not me.
Of course, it is.
Everybody that talk to you about this property, you get annoyed when Shmulik. Who, his name is Shmulik, by the way. Don't repeat the name that you think his name is. Every time,
What?
I'm the guest. I don't know what's going on.
See, that's the problem. The problem is Omri forgets that there are 80,000 people listening to another radio station right now.
Oh, my God.
No, but there's a few hundred people. Maybe there's three people. I think my mother's listening.
I think we got at least 100 people.
So it's like, it's like kids, right? When you want... No.
Two kids in a car. I've been in a car too long.
I will finish.
We're getting ready to mute Omri, so get to the point quick.
The point is, you know that every time somebody will say something bad about your kid, you immediately go in defense.
It's not true.
It is.
Stop. I don't do that. I'm not allowing this. It's my show.
Okay, right. Good.
Because you guys are so boring.
Okay.
Everybody on the radio station right now is going, oh. I feel like it's the weekdays on
Let's cut it and do a repeat.
Right
yeah.
All right. Let's go back. Let's get to the judge. Let's use this time. We only have a little bit of time with the judge.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to do is you're in the middle of an eviction right now, right? It's also Montgomery County. Obviously, it's not Judge Ed Levine. We wouldn't be able to talk about it.
I am. I have eviction
and
on
please
Monday.
Please don't mention any names, of course.
I am not
or
going
the judge.
To. Of course.
So why don't we talk about what your situation is and what the phone call was that you got yesterday?
So, yes, I have eviction on Monday with a guy
You have the constable showing up to literally pull him out of the apartment.
That's the eviction.
Oh, the possession.
Possession. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because, I don't want people to get confused.
Yeah, so the tenant moved in September of 21. He was being refused anywhere else. I work with many organizations, and one of the big organizations in Norristown took him, or sponsored him, and I agreed to take him. He had some issues, but no evictions, at least in his past. We had problems during this whole time with two main things. One, he said when he moved in that he took utilities on his name, but he didn't take the water on his name, which was a problem for me because he never paid his water. The second problem was that when the organization haven't chipped in, which most organizations are being sponsored by Your Way Home,
mm-hmm.
also this one, it was always late, there was always a problem. I was pretty sure that the rent was due on the 15th and not on the 1st. There was always stories about all that. And we arrived to a point after the last assistant that he got from the organization that he haven't paid his rent. More into that, he haven't paid his water bill and refused to take the water bill on his name. So I went to court, I met the judge, I explained the situation. The judge heard everything and he was very nice and respectable. And he gave me a pay and stay judgment.
Yeah.
On December 1st,
so explain, I know what it means, but explain it to the audience, pay and stay judgment.
So pay and stay judgment means that if the tenant pay the judgment amount, they stay
and
in
they
the house.
They usually have 10 days, is that right, Ed?
For the pay and stay?
Yeah.
No, it could be up to 120 days.
Oh, okay. Well, that
10 days is just an appeal period.
The appeal, yeah.
Yeah. And after that, it's really, like I said the last time, balls in your court. If you want to work out a plan that takes 30
so,
days, 90,
yeah.
whatever.
I tried to talk to the tenant a few times this week, which you said not to, but I still did. I do want him to stay. I don't.
You do or you don't?
I do want him to stay.
But you go back and forth. I ask you this question over and over again, whether you want them to stay or not.
So it's very aggravating to fight for your rent as a landlord.
Yeah, of course.
And to call every week, every month and say, where is the rent? Yeah, it will be that. And say, okay, I won't charge late fee. Be in this position all the time. It's very comfortable that I know that I can pay my bills with that rent.
So is he month to month at this point?
He is a month to month on this point.
Yeah.
He is a month to month on this point. And
so
he sent payment on the 1st of December.
Mm-hmm.
And he was adamant that the payment he paid on the 1st of December was for December. And I say, what do you mean? You still haven't paid November. You still haven't paid utilities. You still haven't paid the court fees for November. By the way, the court hearing was on November, but he was postponed twice since September. Because every time he shows some goodwill and pays something, I postpone the hearing, and the judge agreed to that. And it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So he was adamant that the payment he did is for December. And I said, you can pay for the future before you close the debt for the pass.
Yeah. By the way, your lease says that. Actually, your lease says that money goes towards any prior.
So the logic behind it, from the tenant perspective, I want to explain is he don't want to have late fees for December. I pay December on time. November, I will pay one day. But right now, I pay December on time.
Well, that does happen. I've had that where, and I get these long balance sheets.
Yes,
and
general ledgers.
The people didn't, and I kind of go both ways. They didn't pay for 1 month, let's say back in May, but they've been consistent ever since then. But because they didn't pay in May, a lot of landlords are like, well, late fee for this month, late fee for this month.
Right, exactly. They do the same thing.
I don't necessarily, once they come in front of me, I'm like, I'm not going to tack on all that. You got the late fee for that one time they were late. They've been paying every month since then and on time pretty much. And you're just trying to recoup late fees in perpetuity until they pay that old thing. Some judges are probably going to go the other way and say, you know what, that's in the lease and that's the way it is. So I try to not do it. What I try to foster is more consistency in the tenant of paying. It's like, look, I want to reward you for actually putting, you didn't pay in May, but you know, ever since then, you've been on time, you've been a good tenant. You're going to get a judgment against you for whatever the amount is, but I don't like tacking on that much more.
Sorry. So
that's
you,
me.
You say that, it's refreshing. I'm not sure. You say that if they haven't paid 1 month and for after that month, they haven't completed the payment for this month, but they kept paying the following month on time, you will reward only one late fee.
Well, do you already have the judgment for that other month?
Of course.
Okay, so you're sitting
on that. No. Okay. I don't have the judgment for December because the judgment was given during November.
Okay, so you have that judgment. So the way you're saying it is he's giving you money. You would put that money towards the judgment amount. And he has to understand that. He has a judgment against it. What I'm saying is somebody comes in December and they're like, well, this is how much they owe because of a late payment back then.
Right.
And they haven't paid late fees here and they were a little late.
I'm going to argue about that in a minute, but I want to stay on this.
Yeah, exactly, because the story is not over.
I think you're wrong according to my lease, but let's have the conversation. But first I want to finish this one because this is really cool. So
the guy is adamant that he's paying for December, which means the whole debt of November, which includes the full judgment, actually, including the constable fees, still in balance. Now the question comes. So if I take the money that he say that is for December and I credit it to the judgment, the balance that left for him to get away, not get away.
Includes December.
No.
And he hasn't paid that.
Ah, so that's the question.
Yeah.
I need to say to the constable how much he paid out of the judgment. Should I take the money for rent for December, according to him, and put it towards the judgment? Or should I say I can't because the tenant claim that this money is only for December? So the lease is exactly what Larry said. The lease say that you have to pay the pass before you pay anything further.
Right.
So I would say you have to put it towards the judgment.
To the judgment.
I agree.
If he wants to fuss and fight about it, I mean, what he doesn't realize is the constable's going to come to his door, and let's say if he made that payment, he only owes $300, and let's say he's got $400. It benefits him.
Of course.
It makes no sense not to put it towards the prior.
That's exactly my question. Let's say that he pays me before Monday. Hope God that he will do that. The balance, which is, I think right now, is $600.
Yeah.
And he will pay those $600. And he will get to the amount of the judgment.
But December's not paid, so
December is not paid. Exactly.
December's not paid, then.
And he doesn't want to get the late fee.
No, but let's talk about this. Let's talk about this anyway. So he paid one month. So he technically paid November's rent. He didn't pay the judgment. He didn't pay the legal fees, which is about another $600.
Correct.
But he also hasn't paid December. So if this guy shows up and if he knocks on the army's door and hands him $600, he's paid the judgment, but he still hasn't paid December.
True.
Does the eviction still go on? Does possession still go on?
No, I would say no, because a pay and stay is you pay the judgment amount plus the fines, the costs,
right,
and all that.
Right,
and once that's paid, you're back to square.
So he has to file again tomorrow if the guy pays.
Yeah. Exactly.
And
which I hope I won't need
which
to.
Which is why I think, you know, you're better off hoping this guy doesn't pay.
I don't know. I mean,
get rid of him now. Get rid of the problem now.
There could be, because the problem is going for months now, and unless he's been sponsored by any kind of organization, it is a problem for, I think, over a year now, especially with the utilities. But there was a miracle. There was a Hanukkah miracle this week. The guy took the water bill on his name.
Ooh, that's a good sign.
The water bill is not on my name as of yesterday.
Okay.
So this is a very good sign. I agree with Judge.
It is a Hanukkah miracle.
It is a Hanukkah miracle. We had a Hanukkah miracle. The guy took the water bill on his name, which is great. It show to me, it show goodwill. So I won't say anything. I sent him again the judgment. I sent him again how much he owes. If he will pay the balance to the judgment from what he claims is for December, good for him. And if you won't pay...
I tell you what, you should call him and say, hey, you give me December and the $600 you owe me, and you can stay. You call him and say that. It doesn't mean...
I did it. The question is, should I also call him and say, you will stay only if you will pay the $600.
No, you don't have to tell him that. You're not his lawyer.
I know.
You can tell him whatever you want. And I would tell him, look, you pay December, you pay the $600, you can stay. That would be my suggestion. Now, again, that's not legal advice. That's just... But if he says to you, if I pay the $600, can I stay? And you want to be nice, you can say yes.
Yeah.
But is he getting support? You say he's with Your Way Home.
He's out.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, he's out of that? He's used it all up?
Your Way Home provides support for the top of 18 months.
Yeah.
He got 19 months.
Mm-hmm. I had an interesting landlord-tenant a few weeks ago. It was a private landlord, and she would only, we did a pay and stay, and she was like, well, only if he gets assistance will I take the money. I'm like, are you kidding me? So if he wins the lottery and gives you money, you won't take it? It was the weirdest thing. But
I tell you why. When you have tenants that are sponsored by the organization, in a way, it give you what you just gave as an example. If you win the lottery, what's the chance for something like that to happen? If you have experience with the tenant, that the tenant don't have ability to pay on time,
right,
it's always a problem. I have a Section 8 tenant that Section 8 paid their full amount. The minute it got changed that they have to contribute, they are late every month.
Yeah.
You charge them full late fee, right? Because you can.
I can, but I haven't charged late fee with them.
That's your mistake. Don't you gotta... You got to set the rule from the beginning.
I understand.
Anybody
out
there who... By the way, give me real quick. I just want to make an announcement for everybody listening, because I know we're having great conversations.
It only
here.
Happened twice since the change was...
I'm going to get into that for a second.
Yeah.
Right. So first of all, 855-939-1137. You're listening to Investor Schooling Live. We're here with Judge Ed Levine, and we're talking about evictions. We're talking about legal... Any, if you guys want to call in, if you're a landlord, if you're a tenant, and you have questions about the eviction process, if you've heard rumors that... You know, how come it takes 9 months to evict? We're going to debunk that rumor, because there's no such thing. Unless it was COVID, of course. But that's finally over. 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. Call in with your questions. 855-939-1137. I am Larry Steinhaus. This is Investor Schooling Live. I'm here with Dr. Deb, my co-host, and Omri, and, of course, Judge Ed Levine from Lansdale and Montgomery County. All right, real quick, the funny part is I have to just say that Blake, remember I wanted to advertise Blake?
Of course,
Blake?
Yeah.
He actually said, don't advertise me, I have too many jobs.
Oh, yeah. Good for you, Blake. Oh, I have a plug. Can I give a plug?
You can give a plug, sure.
I actually host trivia every Wednesday night at a brewery, Tannery Run in Ambler.
Okay.
So I got to give a shout out to those guys.
Cool.
Because they support me, and it's a fun trivia. So come on by if you want to do a little trivia.
All right, wait. So if I get the question wrong, can I sue you?
Mm. No.
There's no damage.
Where is
only
it?
Your ego. That has no way.
Wait,
no value.
My ego is a lot, you know.
So where is it?
It's in Ambler.
And what's the name of the brewery?
Tannery Run.
Tannery Run. Okay.
Brewworks.
That's interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so real quick, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some more cases. We'll see you guys on the other side.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets, like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling. This is Larry Steinhaus from Investor Schooling. Are you tired of being broke? If you're tired of being broke, go to InvestorSchooling.com, sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday, and learn how not to be broke. That's right. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday. And if you have any questions, you can call us at 215-876-3002, 215-876-3002. Go to InvestorSchooling.com, sign up for this Thursday, and learn how not to be broke. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus from Investor Schooling, and I'm so excited when our students do well. Listen to this student and listen to what he has to say about Investor Schooling.
I sold one of my properties last October, doubled my money, and what I did, I invested into another property and then closed on a refi, and I wrote myself a check out for $118,000.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. And if you want to find out more about Investor Schooling, go to InvestorSchooling.com, and we will see you Thursday night, and we will help you any way we can. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. The opportunity to retire with a great big real estate portfolio is coming quickly, and you want to learn how to do it. We all know the downturn is around the corner. What does that mean to you? You need to learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, like how to buy discounted properties with absolutely no money out of your pocket. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Can you learn how to do it? Yes, you can. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I think we're coming back. I don't know.
The music.
Are we back? It sounds like we're back. We must be back because I hear myself talking. All right. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I'm here with Dr. Deb, my co-host, Omri, my other co-host, and of course, Judge Ed Levine. And we are discussing evictions. We're discussing actually law, whatever you want to talk about. Call in 855-939-1137 if you're a landlord or a tenant and you want to ask some questions to the judge. Feel free to ask 855-939-1137. Should we give away a book?
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah. All right. If you got a good landlord-tenant story, even a bad landlord-tenant story, I don't care. Give me a call. Give us a call. We'll talk about it. And we'll send you a free book, my copy of my book, Money Hacks. It's the Money Hacks, and the title is Because Everything You Think You Know About Money Is Wrong.
Are you going to sign it?
I'll even sign it.
Woohoo!
I'll sign it.
You're not going to sign it. You're going to write it. What are you going to write a book? 855-939-1137. You'll talk to Phil, our producer over there in WPHT, and he'll put you right through. All
so
right, cool.
Before we continue, I just want to put another card in to see if the G-string of my wallet
will
hold it, okay, or it will tear up. It's holding.
So
okay. It was never that thick. Okay?
That's a lot of cards.
We were talking about G-strings and something being not that thick. This is the wrong show.
Okay. Okay.
It's
a Christmas.
So you got to be a fan of this show to understand a lot of these running jokes.
Yes.
Because it's like, you know, if you miss the whole G-string thing about his credit card holder that he called a G-string one day because he didn't know what a G-string was. Because he's, you know, an immigrant.
I don't think I'd still know.
It was hysterical. And, you know, now he's like, you know, pulling it out. He's talking about his G-string credit card holder again. And it was just very, very funny. So go back and watch some, listen to some, go to our YouTube channel or our podcast channel.
Are
and
you serious?
Be hysterical. Yeah. He's asking Debbie what a G-string is. Don't show him right now.
Yeah. It's a family show.
All right. Wait.
I'm not going to show you. Maybe your wife can show you.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go again. Hey, Josh, do you have any questions for us? I wanted to talk to you about that late fee thing.
Ooh,
I'm
yes.
cutting you right
Oh,
off.
Yeah. Let's go.
All right. So in my lease, I wish I had a copy of it, but in my lease, it actually says that all payments made go to prior balances first.
So if I have, for example, it's $1,000 rent and it's $100 late fee.
That makes sense.
And the guy pays $1,000 on the 7th and the late fee's on the 5th. And I call him up and say, hey, you owe $100. And he doesn't pay the $100. Then next month he gives me $1,000. The first $100 goes to the late fee, which is the prior balance. Which means he's only paid $900, which means his rent is late again.
Yeah. Depends on the balance sheet. It's, you know, that's the nice thing about being an MDJ. You kind of have a little discretion.
Sure.
You can waffle. I said this the last time, I'm trying to foster a good relationship and a continued relationship because that works best for everybody. To have a tenant that's paying and paying on time and to have a landlord that's cool about it. You know, just a good relationship is always the best medicine. And I hate to have people coming in front of me. And I try to foster it and make sure, hey, look, you guys don't come in front of me again, but you continue your relationship. And if you sever the relationship, like you may with your tenant, make the exit an amicable and civil one, because it doesn't benefit anybody when it's really harsh. Agreed. And really quick. Mm-hmm. You try to do it the best way you can, because I don't know, like landlords get reputations too. I mean, I don't know with social media, is there comments or anything or you know, posts or comments on properties and stuff. Now, this landlord was a jerk and this and that. And I'm sure landlords managers talk about tenants. They know who
the tenants are. Yeah, they know the tenants. Yes. That's true. I mean, look, you know, I do searches on tenants before I do a criminal. I don't do a criminal, right? I do PAE dockets.
Yes, correct. Right?
And the reason I do PAE dockets, so this is a really great tip for anybody listening. If you download the app PAE docket, you could actually see, and you do a search on somebody's name, you could actually see what kind of trouble they've been in.
What my worst mistake ever.
And then sometimes you can find that they've had evictions before. I mean, my favorite was this guy showed up. Oh, yeah, my landlord was about to evict me, and I decided to move instead. I'm like, great. Well, I looked up PAE docket. And it said that you went to court, you owe him $9,000. When are you going to pay him? Oh, I'm never going to pay him. So I am never going to get paid either, right? Bye.
Yeah. I will give you an Upland story. Because I just rented, 2 months ago, I rented in Upland. The guy arrived the day of the hearing.
He arrived, what do you mean?
There was a hearing.
Right.
Okay, in Brookhaven.
Right.
He came to see the house. And when he left, I opened PAE docket and I saw that the hearing was the morning him coming to see my place.
Right. So he was being thrown out of another place.
I guess he was in court. Right. He didn't go well for him, and he started to go all over to look for a place. Sure. And I asked, have you been evicted before? And he said no, which is
the truth.
It's the truth.
Right.
But he was having an eviction.
So I don't say that. I don't say have you been evicted before. I say when I call your landlord, what are they gonna say?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and no matter what they say, it doesn't really matter. Because, you know, my conversation with the landlord, this is a great conversation. You'll appreciate this one, Ed. So when I call landlords, my prior landlords, I don't say, hi, was Omri a good tenant? Because that's what amateur landlords do, right?
Of course.
It doesn't matter what Omri said to me. Omri could have said to me that I've always paid my rent 4 days in advance. Yeah, thank you. Omri could have said to me, I always pay my rent 4 days in advance, but I'm going to say the same conversation. Hey, Ed, my name's Larry Steinhaus, and Omri wants to rent from me. He told me there were problems. How bad were they? And the funny part is the landlords on the other end, like, they're confused.
Yeah.
Because they've never had anybody ask that question before. And especially the ones, they're more confused if the tenant was a great tenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and they're like, what do you mean? He pays his rent all the time. I said, well, he told me there were problems. What's your side of the story? And I keep pressing to start to hear something. Just to listen to something. And it's funny because one time I pressed. And finally, the guy on the other side started cracking up and going, you're the best landlord I've ever heard. Ask me these questions. He goes, no, I wouldn't rent to these people. He goes, hopefully somebody else will find them. But I would tell you never to rent for these people again.
So I want to answer Kimi and everybody online or on the air. There is an app.
A PAE docket. So yeah, Kimi's asking what's PAE docket.
P-A-E, small e. And then docket with a capital D.
Right, PA being Pennsylvania.
Correct. And that's an app you can find in Android and on Google and on Apple. And that's all legal history of every person in PA.
You can also look up speeding tickets, which is kind of
everything.
Fun.
Everything. Right. So, yeah, it will take all your morning right now, Kimi.
I actually use that app because I get people come in and they get a traffic ticket. And they're like, oh, Your Honor, be benevolent, be nice. And I'll be like, well, how many traffic tickets have you gotten in the last 5 years? And, oh, I haven't gotten any. And then I look on PAE Doc, and I'm like, well, what happened last year and the year before? And then I go, well, that. And I'm like, you lied to me already, so it doesn't help. But I'm scouting on that on my phone down
there. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So
let's bring another court question.
Okay.
Okay? When you run PAE docket for a tenant, and there is no landlord-tenant cases at all, but there are, I was in this situation, and there are maybe 20 parking tickets that haven't been paid. What would it cause you as a landlord to think, to assume? Will it affect your judgment by picking them?
I don't know. I mean, you're not going to get 20 unpaid parking tickets. I've never come across it. I've come across one or two.
I will show you.
And that's funny. So I'll just give you what has happened to me.
Yes.
I had one tenant come to me and said, and I looked up the PAE docket, and he had a DUI, and he lost his license for 5 years.
Ooh.
I think it's 2 and 10, right?
It depends.
Whatever. But, so maybe it was 2 years, or it was either 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, but it was a long time. And it wasn't that long ago. And he came to me as a tenant, and I was about to reject him on this. And I started talking to him, and it's funny, because the guy just was such a nice guy. And again, you know, his wife, kids, and told me the situation. And he's been going to AA regularly and whatever. And I said, look, okay, here's my question for you, though. How are you getting to work? And the answer was, I'm hoping I don't get pulled over.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, man. This is rough. And so it's a tough situation for me. The wife worked, and I felt that the wife's income could support it.
He was honest. Wow.
I didn't
believe he would be honest.
He was honest. And if the wife's income could support it, I'm obviously not going to tell the judge his name.
Okay.
But the wife I knew could support the place. I rented to them. That was 5 years ago. They have never been late. So it was a good choice.
You know why I love renting to people that nobody else agreed to rent? Yes, sometimes it's causing me problems.
Right.
But I'm very proud in what I'm doing. I'm very happy with what I'm doing. I very much feel that I'm contributing to the community where I'm at. And also from the tenant side, when you do something like that, they are thankful for good, and they don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to show you that you did a bad decision picking them.
Right.
And it benefits you as a landlord too.
I always say the same thing when I do that. I when I make a decision like that, it's not an offense. Mm-hmm. I look at the person in the face and I say, hey, don't make me regret this decision.
Exactly.
And it's only happened once, which is the funniest thing, because the only time it's ever happened was the case I brought in front of your.
I don't think he showed up, or she.
He didn't show up. That was the drug addict.
Yeah.
And the funny part, he paid his rent 4 or 5 days in advance every month.
The father.
I thought that was good enough.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, because to me he was disrupting everybody and painting my walls with spray paint, and it was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
So that was why I evicted him. But he was the only one. You know, I knew he was a drug addict because he admitted to me. Because I looked it up, I saw some stuff, and I said, what's going on? He said, look, I'm a drug addict, I'm recovering, blah, blah, blah. But he wasn't recovering. He was just, the father just enabled him, and that was the problem.
Yes.
But I don't care. That's over. It's done. It is what it is. Finally, I got a good tenant now. Yeah.
You have a good tenant now.
Yeah, I have a great tenant now, yeah.
Where in land? Do you don't have to give the specific address, but.
So it's Pembroke.
Pembroke
area, yeah.
We were just there on Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where Blake was right now, fixing my water heater, because of course that's the one that goes bad. But don't you have a couple of great stories, Deb, right?
I'm actually in the process of an eviction right now, so it's a little bit frustrating. It's in Philadelphia.
She didn't leave.
She doesn't pay.
Oh,
she did reach out to me a couple days ago. So she hasn't paid for November. She hasn't paid for December. And Philadelphia is a little bit different, where you have to go through an eviction diversion program, and then they give you money. So I went through the eviction diversion program, and then they paid me, I think, whatever, the $3,000, whatever she was behind 2 months, because they won't let you evict until you go through that program. So I went through the program, and then she stopped paying. Well, she, out of the 11 months she's been there, she paid on time twice, or maybe three times, not more than that. So she's been a problem pretty much from day one. So we did the eviction diversion program. I got paid from the eviction diversion program. She stopped paying again. I went and I filed a couple weeks ago.
How much she owes right now?
Now she owes...
Over a month?
Yeah, she owes November, she owes December, and a $900 water bill.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
The water bills, I know.
Yeah. Wow. So I have it on the lease that she was gonna put it in her name, or if not, she has to send me the bill. If not, she's responsible for the whole thing. And she initialed it. So I mean, I have everything on the lease that it's initialed.
I'm not until I'm calling or getting the email from PICO, American Water, Aqua, all those. I'm not giving the keys. I want to see that they actually did it. Because all those companies send a confirmation email. I want to see this email.
Yeah. And all of the things you're talking about are the very reasons I don't rent in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know.
And, I got these properties before I ever met you.
I know.
You know, right. these couple properties that I have in Philly, I got before I ever met you. So we actually have our court date the day after Christmas. It's on December 26th.
Ouch.
Yeah. She reached out to me.
That week.
December 26th.
I don't schedule any hearings that week.
Well, good for you. You're a nice guy.
Come on.
Yeah, it's at noon on December 26th, which is fine.
Are you going or are you sending a lawyer?
No, I'm going to go.
You're going? Okay.
Yeah. But she reached out to me a couple days ago and she said, I think she was confused as to what she was asking me for, but it sounded like she was asking me for a notice to quit. She said that her employer would pay the rent, and she asked if I would let her stay till March. So I didn't respond to the stay till March part, and I'm like, you need to pay your rent. And I said, you know, she's like, will you move the court date? And I'm like, no, you haven't paid me anything. I'm not moving the court date. So she said that, you know, can you send me this letter? So I sent her a copy of the court filing paperwork that has everything listed in terms of what she owes and the water bill. So she has that, and she says that her job will pay, but so far I haven't received anything.
Okay.
You know, and she asked if she could stay till March. Like I said, I didn't respond. And I said, how are you? You're not even paying your rent now. How are you going to pay till March? If your company's going to pay you for November, December, who's paying for the rest? She's like, well, I'll pay. And I'm like, yeah, okay, because you've paid so well up till now. I mean, I didn't say that, but I'm just like, okay, whatever.
So
we have a court date on December 26th, and I would really like her to just get out and be done.
I have to help you here and give you a tip, because you can.
I said nothing. I said nothing.
Your face says so much. So I have to give you a tip here.
Okay.
You want her to close the most amount of debt before the court.
Like take money.
Because
I'm not saying no to any money. She just hasn't given me any.
I understand.
Okay.
But if the company will pay something, don't worry about how she will pay until March. Even if in the judgment will be for the 900 water, and until the judgment, you need to, maybe it's a harsh word, push her to pay as much as she can before the judgment, because you want the judgment amount to be the smallest you can, so you will lose the least amount of money. I know this tenant, I was in this house with you, and I think that if she will lower the amount of debt and you will do a pay and stay in the house, it's better for you. Because what's the chances that she, without the assistance of her employer, will pay the further debt?
I think what she's saying, though, is she doesn't want to lock in to 3 months into March just by accepting the money. She doesn't want to make sort of a contract deal like that.
I
think you'd say, well, yeah, I'll let you pay it till March, but I can always file if you haven't paid. I mean, I'm fine with you staying till March, but just make sure you pay every month. And if you don't pay in February, I'm going to file paperwork and we will go back to court. But what he's saying is take the money.
If she sends me money, I'll take the money. Yeah. I'm not going to certainly say no to any money.
Exactly.
I always say send me what you can.
Exactly.
And I'll you know what I can do.
Yeah. See, we figured it out.
Okay.
I feel so much better now.
and one of the things I teach and one of the things I do is, first of all, it's funny because when I bring a tenant in, I say, hey, I'm a really nice guy, right? And they go, yeah, you're a really nice guy. I said, let me explain something to you. When we go to eviction court, I'm going to be a really nice guy too, and I'm going to say, I'm really sorry I have to do this.
Yes, of course.
But I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to eviction court, I see them in the waiting room, and I walk up to them. So let's say Army owes me $2,000, right? And that includes $200 in late fees. Let's make it simple.
Sure.
And I'm like, Army.
Yes.
Before we go in there, what can you do to resolve this? And I'm always looking for some kind of answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer may be
$100 or something.
No, that's not enough. Maybe, look, I could give you $1,000 today and $1,000 next week. And I said, okay, can you give me the $1,000 right now? Can you write me a check? Well, whatever it may be. And then if you agree to that, I'll agree to it. I'll go in front of the judge. I'll say, listen, we had a conversation outside. They agreed to give me $1,000 today and $1,000 next week.
Can we postpone?
No, not postpone. I want the...
You want the judgment.
I want the judgment, but I wanted to say that that I can evict them if they don't pay the $1,000 and the $1,000.
Well, I mean, I honestly, and I tell this to all my landlords and the tenants, the leverage and the power doesn't rest in the court. It rests in the landlord. Once you have that judgment, you got 120 days. You can do with it what you want. You don't have to file. You can if you want. And some tenants think, oh, well, you know, I come to you and the court. I'm like, no. Once I give the judgment, the landlord is the one you really need to butter up to. He's got all the leverage, or she, and they get to really control right. the process at that point.
So, and then in 10 days, they're going to file. They can file for possession.
They can.
The earliest they can file for is 10 days. Actually, it's 11 days because you have to wait for the 10-day to pass.
Although I'm nice during the Christmas and holiday season.
We all are.
I don't accept possessions until after January 2nd at this point.
Really?
So I get people that have judgments that 10 days have passed. I'm like, no, we're not going to kick people out between, you know, the 25th and the 1st of January.
So that means you need to know this. Because if other judges are, you know,
so you believe
know,
it or
this
not,
bleeding heart like this bleeding
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, I am a bleeding here. Heart. I'm a nice guy.
I talk
Hanukkah
the,
miracle.
I talk.
No, it's okay. But you need to know it. So if you're moving into December, you need to know that maybe in November, if you had a problem, you need to file now, not that's, week of December.
So that's exactly my case. I talked to the constable about that. He called me. I know him from the past. A great, great guy, and he said, if you want to postpone, it would be for January. So if he will pay you something that won't satisfy the judgment, it will be for January. And January, it's another debt. January, yeah, it's
right,
another
right,
month.
Right, right.
And
right.
by saying that, I want to go back to the discussion you had with Judge Levine. I'm trying to understand, where is the boundary? Because if, like we said, someone, a tenant haven't paid 1 month, now there is a late fee. Next month they paid in time. The next month they paid in time. Next month they paid in time. So I understand what you say, and I agree with that, because it's maybe I don't know if I agree with that. You know what? That they you can't charge them late fee for every month since the amount they miss. Maybe, but how much time do you think I should give them as a courtesy period for them to close the debt of the one missing month? 3 months, 1 month?
That's purely up to you and your tenant and what the situation is, how much the rent is. I mean, there's so many factors to that. How long have they been in there? What's their current job situation? What's their family situation? What's your situation?
Yes.
It's a total variable. I mean, that's why, you know, every case is different. They're not all the same. And there could be cases where the tenant has paid every month, but they didn't pay that first month, and it's pretty egregious. And I'm like, right. No, I'm going to give you the late fees for each one. So it can depend on how the tenant's reacting in the courtroom
exactly.
and just rolling their eyes and being dismissive of the whole process, or the landlord's being that way. So I can't give you a, hey, 3 months and you're good. You really have to gauge your tenant and gauge the situation as best you can.
So you say, if you see goodwill from the landlord side, say, close this debt in during 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and you will understand that the tenants say, I can't. I can close this missing month in a year. You understand that there is a conflict here. It can't be.
Yeah.
It's too long.
You have to figure out as a landlord, how much give am I willing to give?
Exactly.
I mean, I have some landlords, they won't even file till 4 or 5 months
that's
of non-payment. And it's just like, whoa.
How do they pay their insurance, their taxes?
I
don't know.
15th. That's what I tell tenant too. You late, you know.
I was there.
I found a
I was there on
remember,
Monday.
I want to mention something because this is interesting too. Because so I started a charity. Some of you guys listening know this. I started a charity. It's called lev27.org. lev27.org. And what this is about, it's about, let's say you had a tenant, and you could have the tenant or you could be a tenant, and everything was great. I mean, you know, you've been there for whatever. It doesn't matter how long you've been there, but let's just use the example. You've been there for 2 years. You've always paid your rent on time, and something sudden happened. Maybe you lost your job, but you already have another job lined up, but it's going to take a month before you get there, and you were living paycheck to paycheck, and you missed your rent for, let's say, whatever. You missed your rent for October, and but you now have full, you're fully capable of paying the rent continued on. We have a charity that will pay up to 2 months of rent plus any legal fees to keep you in the home as long as you can prove you can continue to pay your rent. So if you have, if you want to go to lev27.org, you can go there. And also, we have a fundraiser coming up. It's on February 20th. Judge, I'd love to have you there.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. It's on February 20th.
Info.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So
will there be food?
For
I mean, yes. It's really all about the food for me.
and it's
not even the booze.
Too.
I just want
it's
the
free
food
too.
Free
so,
food.
That's, you know, so you know, we'll
judges
ask you for
love
a,
free food.
We'll ask you for a donation while you're there, but you don't. But you don't. You're not obligated to do that. You know, there's no contractual obligation.
Okay.
There's only a moral obligation.
Okay. Moral obligation's good. That's an obligation nonetheless.
But if anybody wants to contribute, you can go to lev27.org, lev27.org, and we help people stay in their homes who have had sudden problems. All right, so nobody called. 855-939.
Well, I got a text from somebody who said they called, but nobody picked up. Uh-oh. I don't know about that. I'm just
Uh-oh.
Saying.
It's you saying the number without the accent. I will do it. It's 855-939-1137.
Uh-oh. Somebody called and no
See,
one picked
they
up?
They may think you said 939 and they typed in tree.
Have, you know, we have new people working over there today. You know,
we do?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe we have to
maybe
fire.
You haven't updated the website?
No, I checked.
Okay.
I checked it twice. And usually my phone would start ringing if that happens because it goes to my phone. All right. Either way, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. We're pretty much out of time anyway. You want to give any words of wisdom for landlords and tenants?
Be cool, peace and love, be amicable, work together, kumbaya. Oh, by the way,
kumbaya, really?
I sent in an audition tape to Survivor, so hopefully I get on that.
Oh, that'd
Did
be
you really?
Cool.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Heck yeah. I'm down to win $1 million and
That's
eat
cool.
insects. So one or the
mean.
Other.
I've been looking forward to seeing you. I think I do
pretty well.
I only watched the very first season.
Really?
Yeah.
That was it?
With the guy, what's his name? The guy who got naked.
Hatch.
Hatch, yeah, Richard Hatch, right.
My kids were born on the finale of that season, and we actually induced. I put this on the audition tape. We induced early, so we made sure the kids would be born, and then we could watch the show. I think that was 2000.
There's something wrong with
you. You know what?
Well,
I think I've seen
born.
Maybe half of one episode. I never really watched
there
it.
There is so. Definitely something wrong with you if that's what you did.
I host trivia. I want to get on Survivor. I
cool.
co-own a dog.
Come,
There's definitely
and
something wrong with me.
Talk,
Are you kidding me?
And you come here and you talk to us about
Love it.
Stuff.
Now, should it be every 6 months or every 3 or 4? You let me know.
Look, I love it when you come. It's always fun. It's always fun to talk evictions.
Yeah.
And since I don't go into your courtroom that often.
Yeah, you miss me.
You know, I might go into your courtroom. Maybe I'll file a lawsuit against somebody just so I can go into your courtroom.
Well, I encourage anyone to come in anyway just to observe, and I have really cool posters and stuff up in my walls. It's a pretty neat courtroom.
Well, real quick, so can anybody sit in any courtroom?
Yeah. At least in my opinion, yes. If there's a sensitive case, like a kid right. testifying about rape or something
okay.
like that, no.
Yeah, because here's a suggestion I have for everybody out there. If you're ever going to go to court, sit in the judge's courtroom for a couple of days
of
before.
Of course.
And get
yeah.
to know the judge. All right. We've got about 30 seconds. I want to thank. So Kimmy saying great show. It was a great show. I want to thank you, of course, Judge Ed Levine, for coming in.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you coming in.
Love
every
it.
Time talking evictions, talking landlords, and just talking general stuff. Of course, I want to thank my co-hosts, Omri and Dr. Deb, because you guys are always awesome. Even Omri is awesome today. He was actually had the conversation. It was awesome.
To Hanukkah.
And I want to thank. Would you? I'm in my outro. Quiet. I got 9 seconds to thank people. I want to thank Phil and Natasha for taking care of us at WPHT. Go to investorschooling.com. We'll see you Thursday.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.